Good morning. It's great to see you all as we celebrate our lives in Christ Jesus this morning. This is a celebration this morning of our life and faith, but it's also our consecration Sunday. Those of you who are members may remember receiving a card like this a couple weeks ago in the mail. This is for our annual consecration Sunday pledges for next year. It helps us as we do the ministry plan for the coming year. If you have one and forgot to bring it this morning, or you don't have one and would like one, just raise your hand and the ushers have extras that they can pass around to you. So we can do that during the announcements. Also, as part of Consecration Sunday this morning, we have a wonderful testimony about giving and generosity from one of our members, council member as well, Jeff Holcomb. So when it comes to that time, I will announce that and introduce him. Let us now prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. And we worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing our gathering hymn together.
The Lord shepherds his flock.
The Lord is our strength.
The Lord will keep us secure.
The Lord is our peace.
The Lord requires justice and mercy.
Let us walk humbly with our God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, you come to call not the righteous but sinners. Shepherd us and teach us your mercy and humility, that our lives might proclaim your grace in all we say and do. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you all to be seated, and for our young people who are participating in the new driver's milestone, to come forward at this time. And bring your families with you. Brian, are you driving? We'll do children's sermon in just a minute. Not sure Mom wants to hand the keys over quite yet. Today we're celebrating this milestone of a new driver's license and receiving the keys to the family car. This is a big step in your lives as young people, but also, believe me, it's a big step for Mom and Dad to hand those things over to you. And so we are thankful that you are entering into this covenant together follow safety and trust one another and trust in God, as we trust you guys to the roads and the fates of life. And so a driver's license is a symbol for you of newfound freedom, and that is a big deal. I remember it myself. And when the Israelites were set free from Egypt, they were guided by God on their journey to the promised land. And so I want to encourage each of you, as you drive on the streets, as you see clouds in the skies or lights, the street lights or your home lights as you get home, or the lights of your headlights, remember that God led his people with a pillar of cloud and pillar of light by night, and trust that he is guiding you and he is with you in your journeys wherever the car takes you. So now we're going to have the families, your families and your congregation here at St. Mark's offer our prayers and our support to you as you set out in this new chapter of your lives. So families and congregation of St. Mark's, will you pray for and support these young people in their newfound freedom? If so, say, we will, and we ask God to be your guide. We will, and we ask God to be your guide. Now, parents, I'm going to give you each one of these crosses. These are visor crosses, and encourage you young people to place these in your cars. Do you need more, or is that... You got it? All right. You never know. Where are we? These are just to be a reminder to you that Christ is with you and that he is guiding you. And so parents, hand those over to your children just like you handed over the car keys. And let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we give thanks for your Holy Spirit who accompanies all of us on all of our journeys. We pray for you to be with us and these young people on all journeys, short and long, as they travel to work, to school, to play with friends, to have fellowship with family. We pray for all of their missions and all of their destinations and give you thanks for your constant presence and guidance in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Let's give a round of applause to these young people who are growing up before our very eyes. And as they go back to their seats, I want to invite my younger friends to come forward and join me for the children's sermon. Hey, Luke, can I have the mystery box? All partied out, huh? All right. Let's see. We have got in here, a hammer. It's a toy hammer. I figured that out by the plastic, yeah. What do you use a hammer for? Pardon? Nailing. Pound in nails and to build things. Yeah, carpenters are people that use hammers. Do you know what a carpenter, do you know that word, carpenter? Yeah? Thanks. I can hit that? Nice. We'll just worry about that later. So a carpenter is somebody who builds with wood. They can build furniture, they can build homes, and we know from the Bible that Joseph and probably Jesus were carpenters. And I'm losing focus here, so we're going to move this along. But Jesus and his dad, earthly father Joseph, were carpenters, and when we think about them building houses or furniture, whatever they might have built for the people there, we're reminded that Jesus is building something even bigger and grander than that now. You know what he's building? He's building the church. And the Bible talks about that each of us, young and old in the church, are like stones being built onto this living building. And Christ is the one who is building this great big church that is the house of God. And the reason for that is when we're all together like this, the Bible tells us that Christ is with us and he's present in us and among us. And that's why we get together to worship, so that we can all feel Jesus building us up and using his skills to make us stronger and more faithful and better witnesses to him. So let's just say a prayer of thanksgiving that Christ has brought us into his church, and let's ask him to help us share Jesus with other people. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for building us and bringing us into your church. Help us tell others about you, that you may bring them in too. In your name we pray. Amen. All right.
Reading from Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Micah was a prophet who lived in the southern kingdom, Judah. He served God for about 25 years. And while he dealt mainly with the southern kingdom, he also addressed the northern kingdom and predicted the fall of Samaria. The book of Micah is very short, just 7 chapters long. Micah's message rotates between doom and hope. That is, there must be judgment for Israel and Judah, but there is also hope for those who choose God and turn away from evil. When I first read the text for today, I felt a little lost. I wondered how these 6 verses fit into God's story, and I needed some information about the history of the region to begin to understand. And I'm guessing that many of you might need that too. If you recall, under the reign of King David, the 12 tribes were a united kingdom that enjoyed a period of peace and prosperity. Solomon, David's son, was gifted with great wisdom. He built the temple in Jerusalem, expanded the kingdom, and made Israel a very rich country. But while doing this, he married foreign wives and allowed them to set up shrines and monuments to other gods, and this was not pleasing to the Lord. So then Solomon's son became king. And it was under his rule that the 10 northern tribes rebelled and established the northern kingdom called Israel. Bethel became the capital, and then later it moved to Samaria. Meanwhile, the 2 southern tribes became Judah. Jerusalem was the capital. And God's people from then on were a divided kingdom, a house divided. Each kingdom had a succession of kings. Some followed the ways of the Lord, and others did evil in the sight of the Lord. The prophets were sent by God to both kingdoms to remind them that if they continued to stray from the covenant that he had made with them in the days of old, they would experience judgment. But God also spoke through the prophets to remind people that he would remain faithful to his covenant and would send a king who would shepherd them and save them. In the case of the northern kingdom, Assyria, the powerful neighbor to the north, would be used by God to discipline his people through defeat in battle, and they would be exiled into the Assyrian kingdom. They would never return, but God is good. And many years later, Jesus would reveal himself as the Messiah to a woman at the well in Samaria, the former northern kingdom. In the southern kingdom, however, Jerusalem withstood more than one siege and did not fall until years later at the hands of the Babylonians. And after years of exile in Babylon, the Israelites were allowed to return to build their temple and repair their relationship with their God. Micah's prophecies occurred just before the northern kingdom was defeated by the Assyrians. Micah's message, his short message, was constructed in the pattern of judgment, hope, judgment, hope. And in the scripture reading for today, we start with a message of hope for God's people. And that would be the top part of the reading from today. From you, little Bethlehem, shall come for me the one who is to rule in Israel, Bethlehem, the home of David, the greatest king. In verse 4, he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. A shepherd, Bethlehem. Micah's God-filled words were meant to provide hope. Hope that comes from a caring father and creator that brings peace in the midst of war, loss, and sin. And then, in the bottom part of the page of your readings, in chapters 6 and 7, God makes his case against the people of Israel because of their sins, and it's designed to read like the transcript from a court case. At the beginning of chapter 6, God tells the people that he is bringing charges against them. Even though he rescued them from Egypt, he sent Moses to be their leader, and he saved them many times, they still turned their backs on him and went their own way. In the second section of our reading, the Israelites respond to the charges, and they say, God, what offering can I bring to please you? Burnt offerings, thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil, human sacrifice? What can I give to get forgiveness and favor in return? The people were proposing a transactional arrangement to atone for their sins. They would give riches to win God's favor. They were trying to barter their own sentence. They are trying to tell God what he should do. There's no remorse or desire for reconciliation in the deal that they offered God. But then the prophet Micah responds to them in verse 8. And let's break it down line by line. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, which means God created and chose his people because he loved them. He created a covenant with them, showing them how to love him and one another. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, or think about it this way, to reach out and help those who cannot help themselves, to love kindness, or meaning to reach in to open our hearts to love as God first loved us, and to live in humble fellowship with our God, which means to reach up and abide with God and staying in his word so that we might know him and love him more each day. Reach up, reach out, reach in. God's reconciliation with his people was not about sacrifices given without love, but sacrificial love that springs up like a fountain from a bottomless well that is filled with God's perfect love. If we walk humbly with God to know him and to love him, we cannot help but let his love flow out from us abundantly. Micah is telling the people that hard times are coming. There will be battles, displacement of families, political strife, and all sorts of hardship in the world. But in the midst of it, God is good. God is love. God will deliver. God will send a perfect leader who will not only save his people, but will save the world. When we are humbled before God, he takes the opportunity to make himself known to us. And if we only open the door, he will come in. And when he comes into our hearts, we can't help but do justice, love kindness, and to have hope. I can see the fountain of hope that comes from the deep well of God's love all around me. I see hope in the volunteers of the Wood County Area Ministries who show up every week to distribute too few dollars to too many people who are unable to pay their utilities or afford a rent deposit. I see hope in the volunteers who belong to the Broken Chains Church, who run a thrift store out at the mall, Hope is shown in the way they lovingly take used clothing and household goods and display them as if it were Nordstrom's. And by the way, the customer service is like Nordstrom's too. I see hope in the volunteers who lovingly prepare a meal for a family life center full of guests who look forward to Wednesday nights because it's the one night that they won't have to worry about how to afford the groceries to make a meal. I see hope in the volunteers who give their time to provide free legal service at the Wood County Community Christian Legal Services Clinics each month. I see hope all around us. Because God created us and first loved us, and He invites us to come out and walk humbly with Him. Some of us make a goal to walk 10,000 steps a day, and God desires for us to walk humbly with Him every step of the day, whether it's 3 steps or 30,000 steps. And so, with His love to the point of overflowing, may we be propelled to act with justice and loving kindness and be the face of hope in this world. On your connection card, there are some ideas for you as your love of God, as your love of Christ overflows from you. The first one, of course, is the memory verse that helps us to remember to walk humbly, do justice, and love kindness. The second one is to use the Sharing God's Story at Home sheet at home for some caring conversations within your own family or within your friend group about the verse today. The third one is to volunteer to help and pack the Christmas food baskets that go out. If you mark your connection card today, somebody will contact you about that. And think of a donation or an organization that could use your help to help the poor or those in need. Please consider how God is inviting you to take these next steps. Mark your card and put it in the offering plate, and we promise that we will pray for you in those next steps this week. At baptism, we become children of God. The water in the font that is poured on our skin is the evidence of Christ's cleansing grace. It is certain that each of us will be tempted, and we will give in to sin, but let us not come to the Lord with offers of rivers of oil and a thousand and thousands of rams, but pray that we will come with Him to Him with humble hearts and the desire to walk with Him daily, that He may work through us to do justice and love kindness in this world. This is what hope is made of, and hope never fails. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please join with me as we proclaim our Christian faith in Christ and the Trinity. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. O Lord, tune our compassion to resonate at the level of Your own, seeing others as You see them, as together in Christ we reach up, reach out, and reach in. God of peace,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, we remember and ask your blessing upon all those who have served in the military and carried out their country's request at the risk of life and well-being. Give us generous compassion as we provide adequate care and life essentials. God of peace, O Lord, today we pray for the family of Mary Meyerholtz as they mourn her death. Give them strength and your consoling peace in the difficult days ahead. We also pray for those with particular needs or concerns. We lift up before you Ann Walston, Lois and Otis Sonnenberg, Richard Hahn, Don Morlock, Anna Marie Grimm, Jason, Doug Papp, and those we remember in our hearts before you. God of peace.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your risen Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace with one another.